Yeah, the Lord is saying, and I created you in my image. But you see, what happens is we bump into sharp corners, into people, into things and circumstances, and it warps us. And so we are no longer the people that God created. We are actually mutated into more of conforming to the world and what they expect of us. And as you come to Christ and you walk with Him, He begins to change you into His image from glory to glory. Do you see that? Because He wants you to be the person He created you to be.
Welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. The Bible says that when we come to Christ, we become a new creation. The old is passed away, and all becomes new. Well, today Pastor Wayne is going to show us that although our salvation is instantaneous, becoming new doesn't always happen overnight. Here's Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Build a Restoring Lifestyle.
Yesterday I was with the Kupuna. You know, they're old people, but but I found I'm one of them now. And I was looking at my hair and John's hair, and I thought, ay, 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 they're turning. But I made a covenant with my hair. I said, you can turn on me, but you can never leave. Yeah, so. And so we were together, and I thought, man, I've never been this old before. And then Heather Wong comes up here, and she has us do exercises. You know, I cramped up, and when she said, touch your toes, I said, if God wanted me to touch my toes, He would have put them on my thighs. So there's no way. But the spirit of the people are just wonderful. So thank you for maintaining that vibrant spirit of God, regardless of what happens with our bodies and the rest. It's just so good. By the way, you know, today I want to talk to you about changing your default, the set point of your life. The things that we ratchet back to or fall back to when push comes to shove. Sometimes we say, well, that's just who I am. You know, I was raised that way. Or I'm Irish, or I'm Hawaiian, or I'm Portuguese, God help them. And we that's our default, you know. Well, I always do that. Well, you get me up to about here, but I choke your neck about that time, you know. So we have a certain default that we always default to. You made me mad. No, that's your default. And when you come to Christ, we all have set points that we default to. And we can blame our past, we can blame the way we were raised, we can blame our poverty or whatever it might be, or so-and-so abused me or this or that. And so we have certain opinions that are very firm, and that's kind of like as far as I'll go. And those set points, or I call default systems, we bring to Christ. And when Christ changes us, we still have those defaults. And those defaults don't change. I wish there were a button right here that God could push and it says reset to manufacturer's specifications. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. You know, it doesn't happen. It does not happen. These things eventuate. And every choice that I make will either bring me closer to His likeness in which He created us or further away into the world's perspective of what we should be. And we have to make a choice every day. But because of the ruts that we've been in for a long time pull us back in like a rut in the road from rain, you're riding your bike, boom, it goes into that rut. It's hard to get out. If you're going to get out of that rut, you got to hang on to those handlebars and pump hard. It's intentional. And when you come to Christ, the same thing is true. I have to choose to follow Him every single day. Can you say amen to that? Yeah, it's not an easy thing. And we're going to reset. But 2 Corinthians 5:17 says this, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. So we have to reset our default system to be like Him. And in doing so, something happens in your family, in the church, and in the world. I want to take you on that journey today. But first, a fun story of a guy who tried to keep relationships good with his neighbor. His neighbor was a non-Christian lady, and he lived next door. Chain link fence separated their yards. He had a pretty rabid mad dog, and the lady had a nice flurry little bunny. And the bunny would hippity hop around the backyard. Well, the dog wanted to eat that rabbit. And so he would go up and down the chain link fence. And that lady would say, you keep your dog away from my rabbit. And jumps, okay. And, you know, being a Christian, he wanted to be nice. And so anyway, days went by. And one day she was out shopping. And he hears his dog downstairs. think, oh no, and he runs downstairs and the dog has the rabbit in its mouth. And he's whipping it back and forth. And the rabbit is filthy, dirty, and dead. And he goes, oh no, what am I gonna do? The lady's gonna be so mad. Oh, it's already a bad relationship. What am I gonna do? And then he gets an idea. He wrenches that rabbit out of the dog's mouth, runs upstairs, and showers the rabbit off. Washes the dirt off. The rabbit's dead, you know, and he's washing it with Prel concentrate, and he uses conditioner, and then he gets his blow dryer and blow dries and fluffs it up, gets it all nice, and then he runs downstairs and sets it in a position right on her front porch, you know, because it's got rigor mortis, so it kind of stays there like this, and he puts the ears out, you know, and says, smile, smile, and he runs back to his house. Well, 15 minutes later, he hears this eerie scream. Ah! He comes running down, he sees the lady there looking at the rabbit, and he says, pray tell, what might the problem be? And she says, my rabbit died a week ago, I buried it in the backyard, and now it's back! Sometimes when we try to restore things, it doesn't work real well. But today we want to talk about how God created us. And all of that has to do with His image in us. If you think about it in this way, everything that God creates, He creates to be a conversion machine, something that converts something lower into something higher, something that's broken and something that's restored. That's just how He creates. If you think, for example, an orange tree. An orange tree is growing in the middle of an orchard. That orange tree is going to give you beautiful, bountiful oranges, pure orange juice. But how does it get that juice into those oranges? Well, it takes the filthy, dirty water that is on the ground, maybe filled with bacteria and pathogens. That stuff, then if you have animals around, you got all kinds of bacteria. Now that water, that dirty, filthy water is going to seep down into the roots, and the roots of the orange tree sucks that dirty water in and somehow converts it into pure water, deposits it in these oranges, flavors it with such flavorful sweetness, and you pick that orange and never once have you inspected as to whether or not that orange juice is pure. You just bite into it, isn't that right? Why? Because when God creates plants such as an orange tree, mango tree, whatever, pineapple, it'll take dirty water and give you back something pure. You take a look at other things. For example, the plants even along the highway here, H1 or H3, all of these plants will take it, and the cars go by and give off carbon monoxide. We breathe out carbon dioxide. You breathe that stuff, it'll kill you. But those plants that God created takes in carbon dioxide, and through a process called photosynthesis, it takes in carbon dioxide and gives you back pure oxygen. What? Yeah, God creates, everything that He creates is a conversion machine. It converts that which is harmful and death to something that is beautiful and produces life. You take a look at aquifers. It takes the rains off the coal, allows the water that runs off the highways with oil and all kinds of stuff in it. And it goes down and seeps through more dirt, goes through rocks, goes down to an aquifer. We pump out that water and it's pure. It's like, what? Yeah, everything God creates takes something from a lower state and gives you something in a pure state. That's just how He created. Think about a cow. A cow is munching on grass. The grass is full of worms, all kinds of fleas or mites. It eats that stuff. And it's even probably got urine or feces from the other cows mixed in. It'll eat all of that stuff, chews all of the worms up. It has E. coli bacteria in it. And it swallows that and mixes it with bile. And then think, ooh, that's terrible. And it burps it back up and chews it again. Puts more saliva to it and swallows it down. And then burps it up again. It chews it again, swallows it, and it becomes the milk that you drank this morning. But do you understand how God created the whole creation of nature? He created in such a way that it converts something of a lower state to a higher state. Now listen carefully. If God creates like that, don't you think he would do exactly the same when he created you and me? That we were actually designed to take stuff that come at you that would be full of death, disease, infection, and brokenness. And God creates us in such a way that we give back something of purity. Have the same nature in you that was in Christ Jesus. The Bible says, although he was slandered, he didn't slander in return. Although he was cursed, he didn't curse in return, but he blessed. Huh? Yeah, the Lord is saying, and I created you in my image. But you see, what happens is we bump into sharp corners, into people, into things and circumstances, and it warps us. And so we are no longer the people that God created. We are actually mutated into more of conforming to the world and what they expect of us. And as you come to Christ and you walk with him, he begins to change you into his image from glory to glory. Do you see that? Because he wants you to be the person he created you to be. It's in the New Testament. Did you know that actually God says, don't forget who you are and don't forget your assignment? Let's read it. It's at the top of your notes. And if you'll read it with me nice and loudly, would you read it? And it'll come up on the board as well. 2 Corinthians 5:18 through 20. Go. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of... What was that? That God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them, and he has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God himself were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. You see, the Lord says that's actually your ministry. That you are to take people's hurts, brokenness, and not be broken and hurt yourself, but to convert that into something higher and give it back. And if you'll do that, you'll be called ambassadors for Christ, and people will be reconciled to God, because I am trying to do that through you. But you have to be the people I created you to be. Otherwise, we stop up the system. We plug everything up. And so God begins working to reset our default system so that we become the people that he created us to be. And did you know that when you live like the person you're supposed to be, when you're yourself, I mean really yourself, the way God created you, not the world's perception or the world's expectations, but really the people that God created you to be, that's the best life there is. Because you're just living the way Jesus made me. And it's wonderful that way. That's the most profitable and most fruitful. Why is that so important? Well, would you write down in your first point, that's the way we were created. We were created to take something of a lower state and convert it into something higher. And did you know that God allows all these kinds of broken people with broken pasts and immaturities and character flaws to actually intersect with our life, expecting us to give back pure oxygen from carbon dioxide? To give back fresh orange juice from pathogens and E. coli. God says, when you're that, you're operating in the way I created you to be. And when you just be yourself, oh. In fact, did you know that in the book of Ecclesiastes, Solomon actually echoes those sentiments. Let's read what it says here in Ecclesiastes 7:29. And we're going to read it in the NIV and then the New Living. But let's read it in the New International first. Would you read it nice and loudly? Go. This only have I found. God created mankind. How? Yeah, that's how he created us. Continue. But they have gone in search of many. Did you know God's original manufacturer specifications that we be people of uprightness? Why? Because he created us in his image. Now the world has conformed us to that. Sin has mutated us. And now when you come to Christ, he is unmutating you and he's giving you back the likeness with which we were created originally. Let's look at the New Living. It might shed some more light on this verse. Would you read it? Go. God created people to be virtuous, but they have each turned to follow their own. Yeah, so they take something better and they make it worse. Look at the world today. They're taking things that could have been healed and they make it into something of vengeance, anger, hatred, wars and rumors of wars. It's all going down. And God is saying, there's a group of people called ambassadors that should be doing it the other way. And if you'll do that, here's the benefits. And I'm about to share with you something that'll just blow your mind. But there are such huge benefits. But first, let me ask you this question. Are you known as someone who sees things up? Or are you known as someone who sees things down? Are you someone who is known to see evidences of God's absence or evidences of God's presence? Are you someone that brings inspiration or degradation? Are you known as someone who always sees the best or always looks for the worst? Are you known as someone who sees problems or someone who sees potential? You see, God wants to form us back to His image. He even said to Peter, people call you Simon Bar-Jonah, which Simon means a rolling pebble. But I call you Peter, which is a bedrock. And upon this, I will build my church. What? Yeah, he always saw the ruffian fishermen that were horribly misled and having problems. And yet he took these misfits and made them His disciples. Thought, wow, He's someone who converts something lower into something higher. Always. Are you seen as a gas pedal or a brake? What are you known for? And God is saying, how many of you know people that when they enter the room lights up? And there's some people, when they leave the room lights up. Yeah, but which one are you? It's in the book of Matthew. Jesus said it very interestingly. He said, unless you be converted and become as a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought, well, what does that mean? Unless you be converted and become as a child, you'll never enter the kingdom of heaven. I thought, well, I understand the first part, unless you be converted. Each of us will have a chance to be converted, which means to be reconciled to God. Even as the scripture says, I implore you, be reconciled to God. That's the first step. By the way, if you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, God invited you here for that reason, to make that decision. Make it. It'll be the most eternal decision you'll ever make. We'll give you a chance at the end of the service to just say yes to Jesus. Say, Lord, come into my heart. Unless you be converted. And then he continues, and become as a child, you'll not enter the kingdom of heaven. We're in this portion, the ones of us who've received Christ, we're becoming as a child. We scratch our heads and say, what? No, he didn't say become childish. He said become childlike. Big difference. Well, what's the difference? Well, the innocence of a child, he's saying return to that. A friend of mine is a pastor and he tells a story of his family. They went on a family vacation. He has a beautiful young girl, 5 years old, just sweetest thing, and a son about 8 years old that's demon possessed. And but the little girl, she's the sweetest thing. And he was saying, I'm just joking, but he was saying they went on a family vacation. They took their bicycles and they were riding along the ocean's shore and following these roads. And one of the things the tourist guide did not tell him was that the direction they were riding as a family, their bicycles, they were riding straight into a nudist camp. And so here he is with his wife and his little girl and his son. And they're riding their bicycles and they turn the corner and there's four grown men as naked as jaybirds riding their bicycles the other way. And the father's thinking, oh no, what's my little girl gonna think? And as they rode past, the little girl said to her dad, Dad, did you see that? None of them were wearing a helmet. And I thought, that's the innocence of a child. We're the ones that corrupt them. You know, I read in the paper how they're doing drag shows at schools and all these weird things. And I'm thinking, you know what? We're the ones that mess them up. When they come to Christ, We start a lifestyle of restoring. We build a lifestyle of becoming like a child and being restored to that sense of innocence. You say, but people have disagreements. Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. I'm not talking about that we'll never have disagreements because people have different temperaments, perspectives, maturity levels. We're all going to run into some corners. But what I'm saying is if our proclivity, our tendency isn't to restore, but to keep unresolved brokenness because of our pride or ego, therein lies the problem. You see, we're all going to be human. We're going to have disagreements. I mean, we all do. I know this will come as a shock, but my wife Anna and I have had disagreements. Not my fault. And but it's holding on to them. That's where the problem is. There was an interview with Billy Graham, and the interviewer asked Billy, he said, Billy, do you and Ruth, his wife, do you and Ruth ever disagree? And Billy Graham said, oh, yes. And the interviewer said, well, have you ever in your life, like, considered divorce? Billy Graham said, divorce? No. Murder? Yes. I thought, good for you. But here's the thing. When we withhold restoration, we refuse to rectify something. We want to go the other way and hold it against the other. What happens is it's like hell takes notice at that point. And even though we're giving audience to an emotion of anger or hatred, we think it's benign and it's okay, it's harmless. When hell takes notice of that, and it's not just a division. Now, when we give audience to divisiveness, when we give audience to that and we leave it, now there comes not only divisiveness, now comes a spirit of division, an actual spirit of division. You see, hell is looking for hosts. A host is something where bacteria clings onto and there and reproduces and starts to bring infection. It's looking for a host. And hell is looking for hosts. Could it be you? Your family? The brokenness that you're unwilling to resolve? Oh, it doesn't mean that they're right and you're wrong or you're right and they're wrong. It just means we're human beings and we're going to step on each other's toes. But each of us should have a lifestyle being built of restoration. God created us that way. Plants, animals, everything. He creates that way. And it's no different with us. And that's why when there's a broken relationship, isn't there a pit in your stomach? Isn't there something that just drops acid into the insides of you? You can't sleep. There's anxiety. There's frustration, disappointment, all kinds of ill effects take place. Why? Because God did not create us to function well with brokenness in relationships. We were called together. We need each other. And that's what I think the beauty of this church is that we just love being together. We just love being together. You know, you don't need a whole bunch of programs if people just like being together. You don't need any program. We just get together and have fun. But if there's broken relationships, you have to have a bigger program, a bigger program, a bigger program, better lights, bigger stuff, just to keep our attention off ourselves. But God is calling us to be a people. I want you to see how God prioritizes the beauty of people who are willing to restore, and that's just the way their inclination is. But if you don't, a spirit of division, if you keep hosting impurity, or are sexual things, you have an impure spirit that takes notice. And now you're dealing with hell. In fact, the Bible says it this way in Ephesians chapter 6. It says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers and against the powers, against spiritual wickedness in high places. It's not us that's the warfare. It's a spiritual wickedness that's looking for a host because you refuse to restore something. But if our proclivity is building a lifestyle of restoration, watch heaven get activated.
You've just heard part one of a message entitled Build a Restoring Lifestyle by Dr. Wayne Cordero of New Hope West in Eugene, Oregon. We'll pick it up right there on tomorrow's broadcast. Thank you for listening to Words of New Hope. Until next time, for Pastor Wayne Crudell and all the family at New Hope, God bless you and have a great day in the Lord.
Have you ever been doubted by someone? Have you ever experienced a skepticism of others because they think they know who you are? Maybe you even doubted yourself. While experiencing the doubts of others never feels good, the doubts of those who are closest to us can sometimes hurt the most because we tend to least expect it from them. Sometimes people will doubt you no matter what you do, no matter what you say, and it's okay. The doubts of others do not deny your calling. You have a purpose. Today, choose to be someone who encourages and empowers others. Be someone who spontaneously brightens someone's day. Be someone who loves unconditionally. And when you do, others will begin to realize that even today, hope is alive.
Discover hope this weekend at New Hope Oahu. For more information, visit enewhope.org.